From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of December, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and the day's trade with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois. Frayne Olson, agricultural economist with North Dakota State University Extension, will join us to discuss a broader context of corn and soybean sales for both 2022 and 2023. And we'll also take a look at the weather forecast today with Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics along the way. I'll tell you about this Thursday CCA, Certified Crop Advisor Conference. It's in person this year at the I Hotel here in Champaign. I'll be hosting for the day, and if you've not signed up, you still can. Walk-ins are welcome. The cost is $100, and there are 8.5 CEUs, continuing education units, available for that event. We'll do all of that right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today at $6.54, finished a dime higher. The May at $6.54 as well. It was up 8.75 in December, four higher at $5.97 a bushel. January soybeans today at $14.60.5, down 23.25. The March at $14.65.5, 22.75 lower. And November soybeans at $13.83, down 15.5. The January bean meal down $21.40. At $450.20, and the bean oil at $62.20, up $2.19. Wheat futures soft red at $7.54 and 3/4, up 20.5 cents. The hard red at $8.62 and 1/4, 29.25 higher. Live cattle futures at $156.10, up 55 cents. Feeders were down 27.5 at $183.65, and the lean hogs for 100 pounds at $83.70, down 30 cents on the day. Gold futures at $1,790.40, down $20.30. Crude oil at $73.20 a barrel, up $2.17. The price of diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.97 and 8 cents per gallon, 18 and 4 tenths of a cent higher, and gasoline up 2.5 cents at $2.08 and 1/10 of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading at about 33,769, around 271 points higher, and the S&P 500 is up 21.5 points. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He is at agmarket.net in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here once again. Thank you.
Well, we have a lot to discuss and some reasons why, I suppose. Why is it that soybeans were off 20 cents, but corn managed to gain a dime, and wheat was up a good portion as well, up 29 cents in the nearby hard red?
Boy, it felt like a turnaround Monday. It kind of reversed last week's activity. There was just huge, huge spread activity last week, buying the beans, selling the corn, buying the beans, selling the wheat, buying the meal and selling the oil. And we said, we just came in here and saw 180 of this whole reversal of that psychology and theory. Of course, last week, you know, we saw the reasons why it worked that way, but mainly on the soybeans, a little bit better moisture in the southern hemisphere, not a drought buster, but just the fact that there's some potential moisture there to kind of spoon feed the crop there, kind of limited the buying interest. Also, too, we saw a situation where exports are so erratic, sporadic, that confidence went down a little bit on some additional demand here over the short term. But the market was overbought, and it was due for a correction here. We kind of reached the upper end of the trading range there. Beans kind of failed there near the $15 levels and due for a price correction. We did the price correction from the last low here from about a week ago, and all one day here, 1464 is about 50% back down to the low we had 1st of December. 1456 is the next downside target. But I imagine somewhere in between there, we can find some support. There's a nice little uptrend line coming in there. And of course, that low from 1st of December, still intact technical-wise. Corn basically reached some downside price objectives, stimulated some buying interest. Technically, corn here was due for a 10-week low. And so we're kind of in a position here to try to maybe grind sideways to higher here for a little bit. Some retracement levels to watch back up to the highs we had there at the end of November, right around Thanksgiving. Halfway back up is 654 in the March corn, and that's where we close. And the next upside target would be 659. That's 62% back up. And that's basically below that support level of 660 that gave way here to create the big downdraft here first part of the month. Fundamentally, what kind of supported the corn and wheat both basically was just a little pickup in the drone activity in Ukraine, just huge power outages around the Odessa port, fairly important port there. Was kind of shut down on hold here on loading ships and ideas that maybe the corn and bean shipments out of that Black Sea region could slow. Also kind of stimulated a little bit buying interest here and ideas that we could maybe see a little business come our way out of that region here over the short term. But beans being overbought, corn being oversold, flip-flopping the spreads, just huge spread activity, especially in that product spread. Meal down $21, bean oil up $2.19. That's just about a huge move opposite from what we saw yesterday, not yesterday, but last week, Todd.
USDA on Friday released the updated our December world agricultural supply and demand estimates. In it, they dropped the ethanol usage by 75 million bushels. I'm sorry, they dropped exports by 75 million bushels. They just added those back in. So now we're at a 1.257 billion bushel carryout. That's still a very tight carryout. The trade seemed to take that in stride. Is that something that worries you going forward?
Well, as far as ethanol, it does not. The ethanol demand is just not going to go away domestic and plus export-wise. I think it's, you know, it's just a conversational piece. It's going to flip-flop back and forth. But no, the report was not eventful. As we all know, the main market makers will be later on here in January when we see the January report, particularly in the quarterly grain stocks report. That's going to be very, very huge. That's going to be our first benchmark to gauge our demand and what inventories we have as first of the year here. But on the report there last week, if you go back to the idea that if the weather forecast in the southern hemisphere remains fairly volatile or iffy, that, you know, we could see the Brazilian production may pull back maybe 3% below the current expectations. Maybe Argentina could be down 10% from current expectations. And when you look at that, and if the U.S. is going to have to come in and be a main supplier later on here, those shortfalls, that could, you know, shift the supply-demand balance sheet around quite a bit. So South American weather is going to be the main primary factor here as the calendar turns 2023. That's going to be very huge. And that yield, as we all know, is going to affect the bottom line quite a bit here as we go into 2023.
I made note also that the hog industry there has, at least price, has dropped dramatically. That apparently on a glut of potential livestock coming to the marketplace. Any issues that you see with it?
Yeah, we've seen this rebuilding take place for quite some time. We kidded about the hog motels that you don't want to work on the first floor of those facilities, but they've built some pretty good facilities here to ramp up production prospects, and they've done that. Demand has slowed in through here, and so they're getting caught for that little extra glutton here. I don't think we're going to go through some massive liquidation, so they got a lot of hogs to feed here, and so that's going to still require a lot of meal and a lot of corn or for feed. The thing on the pork side, it is just unbelievable right now. We're seeing these wholesale belly prices, which is bacon, 91 cents a pound. So we've talked about different cuts of meats and purchasing different cuts of meats. I'm all in on the bellies now, Todd.
All right. Hey, thanks much. Put the bacon in the freezer. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. In you know, the 2022 Illinois CCA Conference is back, and this year it's live in person at a brand new location, the iHotel, right here in Champaign, Illinois. CCAs can earn up to 8.5 CEUs for attending the whole event, which features some great speakers on topics important to Illinois agriculture, things like controlling water hemp, carbon markets, enhanced efficiency fertilizers, climate change and agriculture, new drone uses, and conservation drainage. Non-CCAs, of course, are always welcome to attend. Registration at the door is $100, and an agenda can be found online at IllinoisCCA.org. That's IllinoisCCA.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Tuck Leeson. Frayne Olson from NDSU, North Dakota State University Extension, now joins us. He's an agricultural economist there. How are things in North Dakota? I take it the weather's not supposed to be very good this week.
No, we're all kind of hunkering down, getting ready for a big old-fashioned blizzard. It was later on this afternoon and evening. It's supposed to start out with some fun rain and then turn into a snow event that's supposed to last for 4 days. So everybody's going out to the grocery store and stocking up.
Holy smokes, 4 days. How much snowfall are you expecting?
Anywhere from 6 to 18 inches.
Oh,
depending upon where you are.
Over 4 days, that's not so bad, but still.
No, but it's still enough, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be windy. That's the blizzard part of it, and visibility is going to be bad. So
the wind driven is always tough. Speaking of tough, kind of a tough day in Chicago for soybeans. They were off 15 to 20, but they're still up on the top end of the range. What do you think about that marketplace?
Yeah, I guess that was one of the things I was speaking at a meeting over the weekend. And one of the things I wanted to point out to everybody was new crop soybeans. If you look at what the charts are suggesting, we're hitting some resistance levels. And for new crop beans, I was trying to point out, I think this is going to be a really good opportunity given the potential size of the South American crop. Even if there is some dry weather, the Brazilians are planting enough additional acres, some of it being switched acres, some of it being a few little bit of new breaking. But it's going to take a very substantial problem in Brazil to really cut their production numbers. And then on the flip side, the Chinese demand base has kind of flattened over the last couple of years. They're still buying a tremendous amount of beans off the global market. But that the amount is not growing like it has in the past. And so you combine those two and you look at what November beans are being priced at for 2023. And I was really trying to promote the thought this would be a really good time to try and at least get some of those initial sales off the books. For old crop, kind of a similar story. We've got a window of opportunity here in North Dakota, or at least within the U.S., to get some more export sales. Export sales have been kind of a little bit doggish. We've been getting some more sales recently. But again, that window is going to be closing pretty quickly because the Brazilians planted early. It was a little bit dry this spring. They planted early, they planted quickly, which means that harvest will come on a little bit sooner than normal. And to be very honest, in today's world, the United States soybean market, we're kind of the residual supplier to China. Their main purchases come from the Brazilian market. They use the U.S. market to kind of backfill in that gap where the Brazilians don't have a lot of beans to sell. And that's kind of a concern. That's kind of the new world we live in. And with the early harvest coming online, the window of opportunity to be able to make some old crop sales is starting to close. And one of the things to point out, remind everybody, I'm not saying you shouldn't, if you want to speculate, if you want to store some grain, some soybeans in particular, my question is, what are you gambling on? And really gambling on, again, a major weather problem, primarily out of Brazil, but also Argentina, and that problem is going to be large enough to really put a lift into the marketplace. So, if you're going to do some speculating, some gambling on cash grain, just make sure it's not large volumes, that you try and get some of these sales out of the way. It's fine to have a few bushels to hold over just to say you've been able to make those sales. But I'd be pretty aggressive coming especially into the first part of the new year to try and make sure that you've cleaned up your soybean marketing.
And what is your assessment of the corn market at this point?
Right. And corn, so the corn market, I'm a little bit more concerned about the corn market, especially now headed into the holiday season. Our corn export pace is well behind where we saw last year. And we can point to China as part of that. But also some of our major buyers have been a little bit quiet in the marketplace. I mean, when you look back not only last year, but the previous years, we're well behind what the normal pace for exports are. And I think a lot of people are trying to struggle a little bit on figuring out what the reason for that is. I think in many people's minds, the theory is that, well, you know, they'll wait until after the first of the year, wait till kind of the markets come back in January, and then start buying a little more aggressively, just because of a timing issue. But I'm a little more concerned that there might be more behind it, and some of it is the demand base coming out of China. There's also obviously some uncertainty about what's going to happen in Mexico. Now I think that's a little bit of a longer time horizon, planning horizon, than just what's been happening the last several months. And of course, there's the Mexican president has announced that they're going to limit or restrict the amount of GM corn that's being imported into Mexico. There's been a lot of kind of confusion and some different statements coming out of the Mexican government on exactly what that ban on GM corn looks like. Does it apply to just the white corn, or is the yellow corn included in that? Is it yellow corn for feed usage only, or is there some yellow corn? There is some yellow corn that goes into food products in Mexico. You know, there's these lot of questions. We also have the USMCA, or the old NAFTA, that does have some very specific language in the agreement saying that the Mexico will not use GM products like this as a trade barrier, and so we do have some recourse against the Mexican government if they do try and put on too heavy restrictions. But that uncertainty, I think, is also causing some heartburn, not only from the Mexican side, for individual companies that want to buy some US corn, whether they're going to be able to purchase it, more importantly, use it within the country, but then also from the sales standpoint, and on, you know, how reliable is this going to be for a demand base in the future. So I think there are some things going on that are causing some anxiety in the export market. I hope we get those resolved and that we start to see some corn export levels increase as we move into the new year. But it looks right now like the holiday season has hit us, and that we're looking at smaller trading volumes, is not only in the futures, but also more importantly on the cash side. So I'm a little bit more concerned about some softening or continued softening in the corn market as we head into the new year.
Thank you very much.
All right. Always a pleasure to visit. I enjoy it.
Me too. That's Frain Olson. He is with North Dakota State University Extension. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll talk again with Frain tomorrow, this time around about renewable diesel and the impact in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. It's really a pretty big deal there. You won't want to miss that. That'll be on the Tuesday Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thank you for being with us. We just wrapped up a conversation with Frain Olson at North Dakota State University Extension in Fargo. He tells us they're expecting 4 days of snow, although not a terrible amount of accumulation for that time period. Can you tell me about this blizzard that's making its way across the northern part of the United States?
Yeah, Todd, certainly the biggest snow event of the season so far across areas of the Northern Plains centered on the Dakotas. The way that things look lined up here, forecast snowfall totals will range anywhere from kind of 3 to 6 inches on the lower end of the range to some parts of central South Dakota getting as much as 18 inches, even potentially over 24 inches. Along with these snowfall totals, winds are going to be very strong as well as the storm system cranks up across the nation's midsection. So overall, a pretty disruptive next few days here across areas of the Northern Plains.
Any snow with wind, especially driven winds, can be pretty rough. Can you tell me about conditions over the time frame? How fast will the winds be blowing?
Yeah, I could see gusts as much as 30 to 40 miles per hour, even some isolated gusts above 50 miles per hour. And those will cause whiteout conditions across sections of the Dakotas. And as a result, transportation is for practical purposes going to come to a halt for a few days across those areas.
Does it impact places to the east?
There will be some snow activity a little bit further east in areas of Minnesota and northern Wisconsin. Not expecting as much snow there compared to areas further west, but still some significant accumulation, a little bit of winds, but the epicenter of the biggest disruptive snow and winds will be in the Dakotas.
Sometimes these are the beginning of a series of events. Is that the case with this storm?
Things are beginning to lean in that direction here, Todd. Following the storm, there looks to be, especially going into next week, some very cold air beginning to spill southward from Canada on into the northern U.S. And typically when you have that type of a pattern, that begins to cause even additional storm systems to strengthen across areas of the central and eastern U.S. And some computer models are hinting at that here next week in portions of the central U.S., just a little bit further south than what they're seeing right now.
Anything else in the United States before I turn your attention to Brazil and Argentina?
Yeah, I guess the one item, like for the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, we are not expecting any kind of significant snow there. So bottom line is that the drought continues for that area and no sign of any improvement.
And then now South America, please.
Yeah, for Argentina, the main item of news over the weekend was some significant rain activity in the northern belt, some of the previous dry areas there. These rains likely helped stabilize corn crops and enough to at least advance some more soybean planting across that area, but it did not solve the dryness issues. And in fact, looking ahead here over the next couple of weeks, Argentina reverts back to a drier than normal pattern with also another round of heat coming up for that area next week.
And in Brazil?
Brazil overall is in much better shape compared to Argentina. We've seen improvement in dryness over the past week's time frame in southern and center west Brazil, and more is expected the next couple of weeks. The one area that still need to keep an eye on is Rio Grande do Sul in far southern Brazil. They've seen a little bit of improvement, but really they have just one primary opportunity. It's actually the next 24 hours for Rio Grande do Sul, so it's going to be important to see how much falls or doesn't fall in Rio Grande do Sul to see if this is becoming a bigger concern or if they'll be stabilized here for a while.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.